Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details, or contact us at PR@speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I have author and Navy veteran to share with you. He is Charles Massey. Charles was the oldest of four children, grew up in upstate New York, attended West Genesee High School and Syracuse University, and has been instrumental in the operation of several companies. His writing career began by submitting articles and stories to a variety of publications, including Red Book, Reader's Digest, and Twilight Zone magazines. His novels include Pinned, Stains on the Gavel, The Boy in the Bin, a young adult adventure, and The Red Road to Hades, a true crime in Kentucky, as well as a series of cookbooks and a collection of joke and humorous stories. And all of these are available through his website, Starshow Publications, and other retail outlets like Amazon, Apple iBooks, and Barnes & Noble. His hobbies, when he's not writing, include progressive rock music, computers, and other toys, traveling and enjoying the gifts that he has been blessed with. He loves animals, humor, exotic cars, and practicing random acts of kindness. He lives in the Commonwealth of Kentucky and New York State, and I am happy to share him with you, so let's get started. Welcome to the network, Charles.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. So how do you manage Kentucky and New York? Different feeling in both of those states, yes?
Well, New York is cold in the winter, and it's got a lot of snow. So I try my best to get out of there.
I don't.
My primary residence is Kentucky, and from this base, I can, you know, go out on book signings and travel southwest or wherever I need to be at any given time. I usually try to make it back up north to upstate New York once a year. I'm not going this year, but I will next year.
Okay. Well, Kentucky is one of the most beautiful states. I think it's a lovely, lovely place. And yes, I know that New York is cold. I live in Ohio, right in the snow belt near Lake Erie. So I get the feeling of cold.
Yeah.
Well, now you write true crime stories. Why is that?
What started it was I went through a series of events back in 2010 that affected me deeply personally. Basically, I got arrested for being with the wrong woman. She turned out to be a true black widow in disguise. I went through hell, spent 18 months in federal prison until I was able to exonerate myself. And when I got out, I decided to write a book about the entire ordeal, which The Red Road to Hades is that book.
Oh my, they say write about what you know, and you surely did. What a story. Maybe give us a sneak peek into that, a little synopsis of it. I'm intrigued.
Well, essentially, I met a girl on the internet, on Craigslist. And, you know, she lived in Kentucky, I lived in New York, and we chatted for a while and found out that we had a common bond between us. I mean, we both liked a lot of the same things, and she seemed to be very energetic. She told me that she managed a 23-acre organic farm and had horses and everything like that. And so one thing led to the other, and she invited me down to visit her, as opposed to just, you know, emailing back and forth. And so I went down to Kentucky on a bus because I didn't want any commitment at all. And I went down there, and when I met her, it was just like magic. I mean, she was a beautiful little redhead and very funny, and we just got along great. And so after spending some time with her, she was from upstate New York, very close to where I lived, and so I wanted to go back up and get my car and whatnot, and so she rode back up to New York with me and got her possessions, and then we came back down to Kentucky, and I moved in with her. And it was like, as soon as I moved in with her, it was like somebody threw a switch on a wall where she went from an angel to a devil. And, you know, through conversations with her, sitting out on the porch at night in different places, she started relaying to me a lot of the past history that she had. And it turned out that she had been through about five different men. And they had all faced some sort of a misfortune. One of them shot themselves. Another one was deported to Canada. And there was just all this negative baggage around here. And I came to the conclusion that this is not the person I want to be with. And I made the mistake of telling her that. And about 6 days later, I was arrested and thrown into jail. And in the meantime, she packed up all her stuff and my stuff and moved out of state. So that's kind of like a synopsis of the story. There's much more to it.
Sure. Oh, my gosh. What a situation you found yourself in.
Yeah.
Wow. Alrighty. So that's the book, The Red Road to Hades. Oh, my gosh. I need to know more about this. And then let's talk about some of the others. The Boy in the Bin.
Before I moved down to Kentucky, before I met this woman, I was my parents were elderly, and they're going into a nursing home. My sisters wanted to sell the house, and I lived with my parents. So I got bounced out of the house. Couldn't find an apartment that was reasonable. I didn't want to live in Syracuse, and so I was actively looking to move, but I didn't want any long-term commitments while I was up there. And because I kind of was slack in taking care of business the way I should have been, I ended up with no place to live. I had a storage bin, and every night I would go and I would sleep in the storage bin, and then the next day I would either go over to a friend's house and shower and shave and whatnot, or I'd go to the Target store or, you know, someplace like that with a public facility. So I was on the internet at the time, and I was very friendly with the girls in the local library. And because of all this, they started calling me the Boy in the Bin. And that's where that came from. Now, this story, The Boy in the Bin, has absolutely nothing to do with that. I just used the title. Basically, The Boy in the Bin is about a young adolescent boy that he's a taker. He's not a giver at all. He's got an attitude, and he gets wrapped up with the wrong bunch of kids, and you know, he's constantly in trouble. And the police are coming for him one day, so he runs away, and he ends up living in this bin. And while he's there, he goes through a lot of, shall we say, strange events that happen to him, which ultimately caused him to have a more or less a spiritual awakening. And in the long run, at the end of the story, he ends up saving the life of the President of the United States. So it's a dramatic shift from what started out in the beginning, the little punk that he was, to the end where he's a hero.
I like it. The Boy in the Bin. That's a great title for that. All right. Well, let's move on to another book that you penned called Pinned. Give us a little peek into that one.
Pinned is the first draft of my story. And it's actually been out of print for a while. I just recently reissued Pinned in a hardcover version. But Pinned and the sequel to that, Stains on the Gavel, those two books make up The Red Road to Hades. Now, a little bit of background information. When I wrote Pinned, there is a lot of graphic sex in it. And I got a multitude of complaints in the reviews about it. So when I combined the two books into The Red Road to Hades, I toned it down quite a bit. So that's basically the story behind that.
Right. I guess you have to play to your audience, right?
Well, yeah, and I didn't start out to deliberately offend people
sure.
or anything like that. So if people can handle the raw, graphic, sexual nature of the book, then they would want to read Pinned. But if they want a more toned-down version that gets the story across, then it would be The Red Road to Hades.
Okay. Now, the characters in your books...
All the characters in The Red Road to Hades... and Pinned, and the other one, Stains on the Gavel. They're all real people. But to eliminate any possibility of getting charged with slander or anything like that, what I did was I reversed the first and last names of the people, the letters. And so, in, for instance, Red Road to Hades, is the central character is Mark Casey, and which is my initials reversed, Charles Massey reversed. And I did that throughout the book, and that would eliminate any possibility of these people coming after me for slander or anything like that, even though everything in the book is true.
Sure. No, and it is your story, but I get it. You have to be careful, especially since it sounded like there was some crazy surrounding that situation. You needed to tread lightly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unbelievably, everybody that is in the town where I live, because it all happened right here in Berksville, Kentucky, they all know who the real names are. They can figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as you're not telling, they can do whatever figuring they want, right?
That's right.
Yeah, my goodness. Was it hard for you to write this, to go back and look at it and put it on paper?
Pinned was very, very hard for me. I had to relive everything that I went through.
Yeah.
And many times I broke down crying because of the emotional nature of the things. And it being how it was my first novel, I had never written a novel before. It really needed a lot of work from editing standpoint in the beginning. I finally kind of got it into the shape that I wanted to, and I'm proud of the book, but it really took an awful lot of work, and emotionally it was a huge drain on me. The follow-up, the sequel, wasn't that hard because it was, I guess I had lived my penance through it, and it seemed to go faster as far as the writing, and it wasn't emotionally as difficult on me.
Yeah, no, I get that. Are you glad that you wrote these?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I didn't set out to be an author or anything like that. I had written short stories and articles in the past, and I had a writing acumen, but I didn't start out to be this way. I basically started out to tell my story. And because I had such a good response on Pinned and then the sequel that came out afterwards, I said, well, you know, I'm gonna go off and I'm going to do something that's totally alien, which is when I wrote The Boy in the Bin. The Boy in the Bin is totally fictitious. Now, I borrowed the name from my life experience, but it's all fiction, and I'm happy with that book also. And the Red Road to Hades. One of the complaints that I got with Pinned was it ends, and the whole story hasn't been told. And I got a lot of complaints about, oh, now I got to buy the second book.
Mm.
So. I combined them both into one volume, and I don't think I'd ever do that again because it's a huge volume. It's 528 pages long.
So Red Road to Hades really is a compilation of Pinned and Stains on the Gavel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. It's both of them combined together. So in respect to the story, it flows much better because, you know, they're not having to put that book down and pick up another one.
Right, right. Did you have to totally rewrite it, or did you take what pretty much what was written and just combine them?
Well, I took what was written and combined them, but then I toned it down a lot as far as the graphic scene, because that was one of my goals. And I looked at it, rewrote it in the pattern of a screenplay, because ultimately I'm hoping to market it out to a screenwriter and, put it out there as far as one of the Lifetime movies or something like that.
I was just going to say, I could just see that as a Lifetime movie. Definitely the storyline and the situation seemed like that would be a perfect script.
Well, that was another reason why I did Red Road to Haiti.
Okay, got it. Now, you talked about dynamic pacing in your blog. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, dynamic pacing is very important when you're writing because, it's by nature you're going to have fast and slow periods in a chapter or as you're moving through a story. And sometimes it can really drag the story down. So it's important to be cognizant of that and to slow it down when it is apropos, but to speed it up when it's equally appropriate. So an author needs to be considerate of dynamic pacing, and that's a lot of that comes from the editing process, because I know for myself, when I'm writing, I don't really pay any attention to the pacing. I just write the words down and all that. It's not until I go back and proofread and start looking at it, I go, oh, this is terrible. I got to do something with this. Does that pacing element come in? So basically, that's what that is. It's slowing it down and speeding it up as the story calls for it. The story drives the pacing.
And I understand what you're saying. The first go at it, it's just coming from your heart and you're just writing it down and you don't have time to think about that. But as you look back on it and reread it, that's something to think about.
Yeah, and it's not just one read. I mean, when I go through and after I've finished a piece, I go back and I probably read it myself at least 10 times and proofread it 10 times. And then have friends and family look at it and acquaintances, all that. And it's unbelievable. They all find something wrong with it. And I make those corrections. And it's never going to be perfect. I'm sure that if you went through the book now, you'd find a period out of place or an extra duh somewhere or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's important to do the proofreading and the editing. And that is where you pick up on the pacing.
Right. And then how did you get these books published?
I self-published.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that process.
Well, I originally with Pinned, I sent out probably 150 query letters to a variety of agents, and I couldn't get any of them to pick it up or show any interest. They sent me nice, the ones that answered me, which was a minority, but the ones that answered me would send me a letter and say, well, thank you for submitting your synopsis, but at this time we're not accepting new manuscripts, or we don't find that your story is a mix for our publication, or what. And it was like terrible. I mean, it was like, I can't even get anybody to take a look at this story. So I ended up going through another publisher that I won't name because I don't like them. And they were supposed to be specialists in self-publishing, and essentially it cost me the whole procedure of going through them probably cost me about $30,000 trying to market the book.
Oh my.
And I got nothing out of it. So I was pulling my hair out, and I don't have much anyway. And I said, I'm just going to go direct to the source. And the biggest source in books, supply of books to libraries and bookstores and whatnot, is Ingram. And And I went to Ingram, and they had a program where I could publish through them, and I formed Star Show Publications as a publisher, and the rest is history. I put my books through them, and they handled all, and it's unbelievable. When I was going through the other publisher on a 1995 book, my royalty was somewhere around 35 cents.
Oh, my goodness.
And so now, I mean, it's not great. Now it's maybe a dollar more, $1.35 or so, but it's a whole lot better than 35 cents.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's how I got into self-publishing.
Well, I think it's a great option so that you don't sit there on some great pieces of work and wait for someone to recognize that. I'm really happy that we do have that option these days to self-publish. And I love the name Star Show Publications as your website and as your publishing company. Just how'd you come up with that name?
I've been an astrologer for about 40 years, and so that kind of hit me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it.
You look up in the sky at night and you see a show of stars.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about dynamic pacing, and one place we don't need to worry about that is in your cookbooks or your joke books. So that's kind of an interesting side piece to who you are and what you write about. Just tell us a little about both of those, the cookbooks and joke books.
Well, the joke book came out first. I've always been a clown. Going back to high school days, I was class clown. And love jokes, love wit, and, love comedy in general. And I used to actually do stand-up comedy in upstate New York. And I had this whole library of jokes in my head. And so I started writing them down one day. And lo and behold, I had a lot of jokes that I had written down. So I decided to put this into a book. And the joke book is 52 weeks of jokes. And there's 52 story jokes, which would be like, Mary had a little lamb type joke. And then there's 52 one-liners. And the thing that's unique about the book is in the back, there is a topical index. So if you want to joke about a washing machine, you look under W and find it on page 58. So that's where that came from. And I may ultimately bring out volume 2 of that because I've still got some more jokes.
There's more jokes in your head, right?
Yeah. Not much more, but...
You could dig around and find some more.
Yeah.
I love it. And then what kind of cookbooks?
And the cooking came from back in the mid-2000s. I had a catering company, and I loved catering. And I operated at the same time. I had two delis, two snack bars in professional buildings. And through the course of that, I developed a lot of recipes, and I had recipes that people gave me and all that stuff. So I decided I'm going to put together a cookbook because everywhere I go, I'll cook a meal for the ladies in the library or something like that, and they go, oh, this is wonderful. And I thought, well, I'll put together a cookbook. So I broke it down into 4 books. In the series, the first one is salads, and the second one is appetizers, and both of those are out now. And then next year will be entrees and desserts.
You are very cool. You've had quite a diverse background, huh?
Oh yeah. I have a lot of interest, and so I go in a lot of different mm-hmm. directions. Sometimes to my demise, but. I've gotten better at being focused as I've gotten older.
No, I understand that. I kind of feel the same way. There's just so many things that interest me, and I try to touch them all. And you do have to pick a few and focus on those, but I don't think there's anything wrong with being interested and exploring them.
Well, the great thing is I'm never at a lack of words at a party or anything like that.
I'll remember that next time I'm having a dull party. I was like, I need to invite Charles Massey to my party. Oh my gosh, you're funny. So what's next? I know you're working on a couple cookbooks, but what other books do you have in your brain that are stewing?
Well, I just put out, within the last month, I put out a collection of my short stories that I've written over the last 30 years. And what I did was because I keep everything. I never throw anything away. I'm like an old crow. And I went through my files, and I found these, and I updated them, made them more contemporary and whatnot, and put them all together in a little small little book, you know, like 140 pages or something like that. And it's short stories. And so I've just put that out. It's called A Cauldron of Spirits. And that's available also on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, my website, and all that. And what I'm working on next is I'm doing the cookbooks, and those will be out next year. And then I've decided to write a sequel to The Red Road to Hades. And this should be interesting because of a couple of reasons. The Red Road to Hades is a totally true story. Everything that happened in the book is true. This woman that I got involved with, total nasty, for lack of another word, bitch. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to write her story, how she got to this point. Because I know enough about her back history that I can put it in. Mm-hmm. Now, it's going to be fiction.
Right.
Because it's coming from my head. And it's not verbatim or anything like that. But I can do a pretty good storytelling job mm-hmm. on how she got to be where she's at. And I've got that slated to come out sometime in the fall of 2018. And it's going to be called Roxy's Tale.
Wow, that's exciting. I look forward to that, to see what you concoct there. Very, very interesting and exciting. As we begin to wrap up, is there anything then that we missed that you would like to talk about?
Sometimes people ask me, you know, is there a message in my books? Because they're all over the map. I've got young adult, I've got true crime, I've got humor, cookbooks. And I guess if I had to say a central message is I always try to adopt a spiritual attitude that in Red Road to Hades, Boy in the Bin, and a lot of the stories in A Cauldron of Spirits, there is a very spiritual message. And so I guess that would be how I write. It's kind of like the theme that I write because I'm, you know, I believe in God and I thank Him for my success. And so I wanted to kind of put that out to people that, you know, no matter how bad your life is, there's somebody out there that's got a worse life mm-hmm. and be thankful for little things.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. I think gratitude is a very important aspect that seems to get lost in our rushing around day-to-day lives. So thank you for bringing that up. And it's good to know that that's kind of your underlying message and theme in your books. Well, Charles, where can folks go then to learn more about you and where can they purchase your books?
Well, I've got a website. It's called Starshow Publications, all one word. And if they go there, they can find out, you know, my bio is on there and there's a link to message me if they got any comments, or if they want to get on my newsletter. Other than that, Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com carry everything that I put out. It's print on demand which means that they don't stock a lot of them right now because of the volume. I don't put out enough volume of books, but hopefully that's going to be changing pretty soon. They can go into any Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and they click on order now, and they, you know, they do this, their transaction, and they'll have it within a week. So it's real quick.
Yep. All right. Or they can start at your website, starshowpublications.com, and our author is Charles Massey, M-A-S-S-I-E. I can't begin to tell you how much I've enjoyed our time together. You are quite an interesting and fascinating person, and I know that folks want to get a hold of your books and find out what happens in your sequel to Red Road to Hades. Thank you so much for joining us and being so honest today.
Well, thank you, Pat, for inviting me, and look forward to talking down the road when Roxy's Tale comes out.
Absolutely. I will be here, and I am looking forward to that. Thank you.
Pat, it's been a joy.